The following program is paid for by Edge Construction and does not reflect the views or opinions of Good Karma Brands or ESPN Madison. Now that we've hammered that out, let's get to work. From the Everlight Solar Studio, this is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Here's Jim Rutledge.
Welcome into the Edge Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuick from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse their work and read reviews. You can go to Howe's Facebook and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And Mike, we got a lot of stuff going on today talking about design trends and everything like that. But yeah, you got anything else going on? Anything fun, exciting going on for you?
Yeah, my grandson John is going to be wrestling in Madison for the individual state championships. So he's freshman, 132, Chiermont.
Yeah. Well, Riley Yauch from ESPN will be calling a lot of those matches. So hopefully he'll be calling a win.
That would be great
for your grandson there. But today we're going to talk about some design trends and kind of just getting ones ready to take off and maybe ones that have kind of established themselves as well. And there's a lot of different categories to focus on here, and we'll probably kind of start a little bit with kitchen because, I mean, the last time we talked, let's make sure we're kind of on the same page with this. Is kitchen still kind of like the number one thing that you guys get called to do?
I think it drives a lot of remodeling. I have noticed that, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago, we'd get a call in the kitchen, and people meant the kitchen. It was just like the kitchen. Yeah, let's replace the cabinets and maybe change it up a little bit, open up a wall or something, add an island. And now it's more like the surrounding spaces are in play usually.
Yeah.
So we're doing more of like a first floor or the common areas around the kitchen because it all kind of goes together and should flow and stuff like that. So it's I always feel better about that because it's not you know, coming in and doing one thing. You want design to be more comprehensive. I think you get a better result that way.
So it's funny because so our house is like 19 years old, and even for ours, it's still like a part of the area is still too compartmentalized where we had like a formal dining area. And just the other day, my wife's like, it just needs to be a little bit bigger. Yeah. And it's not because they kind of not walled off completely, but half walled the kitchen. So it's like a doorway entryway into the kitchen from the dining room. And it's like, if that wasn't there. So it's like everything in our house, yeah, to your point.
Do you use that dining room?
That's where we usually eat because
that's usually,
yeah. Because we use it, but it's honestly everything. If everything can move out 5 feet from the dining room into, because then there's a space we don't really use on the other side in like the actual like living area that it's like, all right, turn this into an island, stretch everything out 5 feet, and then all of a sudden it all works. Yeah. But even a house 19 years old still compartmentalized a little too much.
Well, and we kind of joke about the builders, and I always think they just don't do enough design. It's just the nature of new construction is. The pace is fast, and even on design, they want to get into action quick and get a contract signed and get a hole dug. And usually, you're picking from kind of some standard plans. I don't know, is there a house on your street that looks?
Yeah, we call it the doppelganger house. It's literally up the street, exactly the same.
Yeah, and it's really common. And so, when we do remodeling, we have the privilege of taking our time on design, and we can put a lot more thought into it, I guess, because I think. Trends happen in design where you have that your design is pretty common. Like you got this kitchen, a little. I think it's supposed to be kind of a breakfast nooky area.
But it's a little too big for a nook, but a little too small for dining.
Right.
And I don't know what to do with it. So yeah.
Yeah, and it ends up wasting space. And usually you're walking around the table to get to outside or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So.
Right.
That's the beauty of the design software now. It's gotten so good, and all the CAD software, you get to take a top-down look at your house. And when you can do that, you know, it's like stepping out of the tunnel, and now I can go, okay, we know what elements we want. How can we rearrange this? What could work? And is it worth making the change to gain, like you said, gain some space in a different area?
So, you know, with that, it talked about here of one of the main things is it's this dressed up and tailored style. I think customized. But like you kind of talk a little bit about just the customization that goes into kitchen remodeling.
Well, one thing that's happened is, and this is a fun part for I think people like us, is that if you look at the kitchens from the early 2000s and then back, you know, into the 70s, they're somewhat utilitarian and a lot of them look the same, you know. And I always joke they kind of made the same mistakes. Like there's not enough there's not enough you need bigger chunks of counter space around the major elements like the stove or places where you're doing a lot of the work of the kitchen. So that part is getting solved usually. And then people are opting for upgraded things in kitchen. Like they want stone countertops. I think last year we did, I don't know how many kitchens we did, certainly over 40. I think we only had one laminate countertop and one granite countertop. The rest were quartz countertops, so some variation of stone. The picture I brought in shows a really upgraded hood over the stove. A lot, you know, no cook would not like that. You know?
Right, yeah.
So like some of these things that used to be options, and you might see one of those things, people are going, you know what, I'm going to do this once. It's going to last for a while. I really want to love it. And so it's worth upgrading some things to really give it a customized look.
And one of the things you can kind of customize through upgrading is the cabinets. And You've talked about that before. There's so much that you, a regular person, wouldn't even think about. You're not even, honestly, the way you talk about customization, it's not like you can even get ideas off of a big box store, like going in and seeing just in general, and then you get an upgrade in quality. The quality obviously is better through customized cabinets, but like the customization, honestly, at times will blow your mind.
You're just not going to be aware of the possibilities, I don't think. And so we have our main supplier has grown to be Great Northern Cabinets, and it's from Rib Lake, Wisconsin. And I always joke like you go to the North Pole and hang a right because it's like way up there. But I love it because they offer us so many things. Basically, almost all the Sherwin Williams colors on cabinets for paint. Also, my own house, I have some stained hickory cabinets. It's kind of a darker stain, but it's a beautiful option that they offer. They do things that we don't have to pay extra for, like we can increase or decrease the size of our cabinets by eighth inch increments, and it's price included. So like it gives you the chance to really do a custom kitchen. Yes, they're made in this in the factory at Great Northern, in the buildings at Great Northern, but there's a lot of hands-on craftsmanship there. The other thing I like about them is that I just got back from the Builder Show last week. I was down in Orlando this year, looked at a lot of cabinets, and when they're installed, they all look great. Like people are bringing their best stuff, and it looks beautiful. But when you start opening up and looking, you're like, okay, I see what they're doing here. It's a lot of particle board stuff. Yes, the finishes you see look like they should look, but you know, are the door boxes made well? Are the cabinet boxes made well? How's the how many issues do they have? So like all of those cabinets are made in large plants in other areas of the country, and usually there's a lot of robotics and CNC machines, and the idea is to get less people involved in making these cabinets. Well, when you're making a cabinet and, you know, they're out of wood, and wood, you know, has issues. And so you need somebody looking at it and catching those issues early, or making sure like the paint is good before it moves on to the next step, so that there's less chance of a flawed cabinet getting to the homeowner. So or a lot of times we spend time fixing those type of cabinets, whereas that's one thing we've found with Great Northern. Okay, it's a much better cabinet. It's a much better made cabinet. Yes, we got to pay a little more, but we have a lot less time in fixing them and making them right. And so our total cost is probably similar to a lesser cabinet. We just spend less time fixing. So I think the options, between the options and all the things they offer, like I don't know if you didn't have a good designer working with you, I think it would be much harder to realize what is available out there.
Yeah, I think the term that works a lot of times in life, but works, I think, a lot for construction, because even if you're looking at Pinterest, all these things is, and for remodeling, is you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's where you can talk a little here about your design team and what they do, because also they do a lot of their research on their own, and then they're also in your home scene, and then when they talk to you, they can say, oh, I like this. You can say, I like this, this, and this, and they go, oh, actually, other people who have said they like these things have really enjoyed this feature.
Yeah, and that is the personalities of these designers. When they come to your house, they're not just looking at the nuts and bolts, right? They're seeing the types of things that you bought for yourself and kind of mentally filing that. And I joke that they're kind of like personal shoppers. Like the you know, everybody knows that there are, I don't know how many different tiles you can buy in this town. It's got to be thousands, you know, 10,000. Yeah. And that's intimidating for a lot of people. But when you've got a designer that's sort of filtering and now starting to bring you stuff that they think might be in your wheelhouse and fit the design and are budget friendly and are the right product or a good product, that's something that we can get readily. It's much more helpful. So I you've been through it. I know it helped on you.
It's an incredibly helpful process. This is the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Call Mike at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse the work and read reviews, and go to House, Facebook, and Instagram as well. And Mike, you've talked about this plenty of times, whether it's through actual continuing education or voluntarily going to different trade shows and things like that. It is part of, you know, what you do to make sure that you're providing the best for the people that work with you and work for you. And you were just recently at what kind of conference was it?
It's the International Builder Show. It's always hosted in the U.S. and it's between, or this show is, and it's between Orlando and Las Vegas. So this year is in Orlando.
Okay. And so actually, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. What have you seen in the past that like kind of made its way here that like, you know, something like, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago, you're like, I wonder if that'll make its way to the Midwest? Because we've joked before that I think you said everything starts at the coast and works its way in.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million things. But so if you had asked me like one product, I would say that I didn't see coming, it's probably the bidets. I don't know. Do you know anybody that has a bidet?
I don't know anyone that has like installed, but I know like we have this friend we always laugh at because he just talks about because he bought on Amazon. And like, so it's more of like a aftermarket sort of thing.
Yeah,
but he swears by it. We're like, can you stop telling us about it? Like, we don't care that much, but it's a thing.
We've gotten so popular that like it's now entered our design process that we're asking, okay, are you, because usually you need power now to your toilet.
Yeah. And actually I do know someone else that, and it came in handy because they had an injury with their arms and their wife's like, well, I'm glad I didn't have to do that for you. Because they had the bidet. So, because they couldn't otherwise, God for it.
I have not partaken, but I have it on good authority that once you start, you're not going to want anything else. And like, it's very popular in parts of Europe and especially the Far East. So like, that was, I think, where it came
I think in. Matt Hamilton, the curler who I co-host with, like, he says that like public restrooms out east have it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, at least some of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did I find the show?
What about this show?
It's literally 4 million square feet of space. So like, I was there. I got to go to the show about a day and a half or a day and a quarter. I think I got through about half of it. I usually go with a mission. Like our designers went also, so they're looking at different things. They're trying to identify trends. And I want to see a little bit of that too, because the last few years I thought stuff was getting too trendy. And I'm like, does anybody even using this stuff? It doesn't seem, it seems like kind of a waste of time to look at some of it. This year was back to basics. I really liked a lot of the products there, a lot of the things that we would be looking at in our designs. You can see everything there, from tiles to sinks to countertops to cabinets, you name it, and stones and flooring, all the flooring choices, and even there's a lot of technique talk there, which is super cool. So I went with I wanted to look at AI design because that's now, you know, a thing.
It's very, very big in my job. So, yeah, no, I can imagine it's only even more so in your job.
I thought I had a few years yet, but I don't have a few.
It is lightning fast. It's coming up quick, yeah.
Yeah, and it was when I got talking to a few companies and they showed me it and explained it to me, I said, okay, we have a CAD program. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing program. You can draw a house, and we do. Or you can draw bathrooms and kitchens or a deck or any, you know, anything in between, generate the renderings. The AI design is like separate from that. So we could import, we basically, while I was standing there, imported designs that we had done on our CAD into their program. And what it did was just gave you, you could say, give me 10 different looks in these styles, change up the colors, and feel free to rearrange the furniture. And it would like, you know, within a few minutes, it would give you these. And the renderings that AI generated, our renderings are really good. These are, they're kind of like the cartoon pictures that CAD can produce now.
Yeah.
They've gotten much better, but they're still, you can tell it's not a picture.
Yep.
These ones, you cannot tell.
Yeah.
It actually looked like a picture. And it would put people into the CAD drawings. Like,
wow. Yeah.
You know, kids on the couch. Yeah. Whatever. So I thought that was cool. That was interesting. And, you know, if you've built a 1,000 houses, if you've remodeled 1,000 kitchens, you understand the process. Like, that's our language. We speak it all day long. For somebody that goes through that once or twice in a lifetime, it's a lot. They don't have that vision sometimes, and it's hard to envision what the end product's going to look like. So the better the renderings could be, the more options you can show. Just I think it helps people to figure out, oh, if I'm really going to, you know, you want to like this, you're going to spend all this money and go through all this time and design and construction and pay for it. And in relatively reasonably, we could add something like this. So that's probably in the future. And the other thing was, have you seen they're calling them exoskeletons. It's like these tubular things. So I was looking at some that they strap just to your upper body. And basically, like, if you hold a nail gun up, you know, it's 5 pounds. And so, like, if you do that for 40 years in your career, it's tough on your shoulder. And
it starts to hurt
and whatever. And so the exoskeleton sort of straps on. It's like like tubes with springs. And I'm simplifying this
too much. Yeah, yeah.
But it takes 70% of the weight away.
Okay.
So I wanted to try it on and actually try and do some work and see if this was, if it's there yet, which is not quite there yet, I hate to tell you. Because we're always looking for things that can, especially our skilled people, we can get them to be healthier, last longer in their career, have less problems, make it more enjoyable. I tried on a powered version. That was pretty cool. But now you're strapping like a 15-pound thing to your back. And yes, it was very easy to move your arms and pick up heavy things. But again, I'm like, okay, you got to weigh the adding the weight to yourself and picturing it at not just in a 65-degree winter place, but a 100-degree summer place. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like I said, it's coming. I think it's going to help. It's got to get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is funny how AI is kind of coming for everyone, because that honestly feels a little bit like, even with the robotic thing to help, like that feels like a little bit of an AI side of it. So actually on that, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I had one more thing that I was looking for. I got surprised by a product. So you think you've seen every shower door in the history of shower doors. How can you come up with a new idea? So there's a company that is taking two sheets of glass and sandwiching materials in between. Like they had like a linen fabric product, super thin, and you could still kind of see through, but it gave you some privacy.
Yeah.
And I thought, how brilliant, because it gave, you know, the designers were freaking out because now you could do different looks. They had very thin, shimmering metal, like golds and stainless steels and things you could put in between. And it's like, you know, the designers, our designers are women. They were like, you know what, even if by myself, I feel like it's nice to have a little bit of privacy, you know, in there.
Yeah.
And just clear glass. And so I thought that was a very innovative new product that nobody thought of yet.
Yeah, no, that is very clever. What I was going to bring up was that how many of this, I was going to ask you, so you saw the AI design thing. How were there a lot of other AI things at this? Yeah.
Yeah.
There what was the, a, like, the most wild one you saw?
The wildest one was I walked up and I could see two like robot dogs walking around. And these things had, what were they doing? It's literally the product. You put it on a job site, took pictures of things. They could manage safety, believe it or not. Like they would warn people. It's kind of like your car telling you, like, pay attention.
Oh, and, yeah.
Some cars do that now. They could take really finite measurements and check things against plans. Somebody from an office can be going, okay, walk over here and look at this, and I want to see what this looks like. And I thought that's pretty funny. So they were billing it under construction management. Again, like I don't envision Edge spending a lot of money for this yet. There were some really cool things. They had a setup that it looked like a laser. You know, you spin like spinning lasers and ones that can lay out things on the wall, like level lines. Well, this could actually, you could import your plan, put it on a pole, and then it projected laser lines down, eighth inch laser lines of all of your layouts at framing. So literally, if we had a a downstairs that wasn't, the interior walls weren't framed in yet, we could project down, and a homeowner could get a real good feel about how big those spaces were and where the cabinets were and things like that. And I thought that was pretty cool too. That was innovative.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's everything. There needs to be a human element to make sure it doesn't go too awry. But yeah, I was kind of curious how the AI kind of made its way into your line of work
Just like at the beginning. Like, I think it's, yeah, I can't imagine what every year is going to look like.
Well, yeah, I mean, the CAD one seems like it could be very helpful for you, being able to make life a little bit easier for people to understand.
Keep the robot dogs.
Yeah, robot dogs is a little bit a bridge too far. This is the Ed's Instruction Home Remodeling Show at 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show, I 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You can go to edgeconstructioncompany.com to browse the work and read reviews. And go to Howe's Facebook and Instagram as well. And we talked about some kitchen trends. We also talked about what Mike saw at the Builders Show, for lack of a better word. And AI is coming for everyone. But honestly, as we talked about it, it should make the homeowner's process easier, because at a bare bones minimum, it sounds like early on, it could at least improve the ability to understand CAD design and do a little bit more with that, so the consumer can even see more, like, this is what it's going to look like.
Well, I mean, when you're designing these spaces, you're always trying to figure out what it's going to feel like, you know, when it's all done, because you're always changing things around, you're always moving things, opening up a wall or a doorway or whatever it is. And changing the look. So I think, like, it takes a lot of experience to just look at a plan. You know, we used to do hand-drawn plans, right? Like those, I mean, I don't know how homeowners ever decided anything, because you
just took your word for it.
You use your imagination, you know? You picked out some colors and textures, but that was kind of it. So now you can get those different levels of renderings where I mostly will look back at our last renderings before contract time, and then look at the finished project. And I really like it when you go, oh, this, people had a pretty good view of what it's turned out a lot like the rendering. Like, you could, you look at that rendering and go, yes, that was what it, you know, how it ended up. So I don't know. I've come sort of kicking and screaming into the AI age, and I'm still on, but I do like that it produces, like, this is something that is real and could improve the process for the homeowner, because you just are able to see what it's going to look like.
Yeah, and then you also can use it once in a while, gently show them that their idea might be bad.
You really want lime green? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, this is what it's going to look like. Oh, wait, never mind. Yeah.
I'm going to leave that to the I always call it the power struggle between the couple. Yeah.
Yeah, but if it gets easy enough for you, it's just kind of like, click, this is lime green, this is black. Like, what? Just flip back and forth, and you can kind of see the difference there. One of the things we didn't talk about with kitchens was the countertops and how that kind of goes into design. And I think you've talked over the years that granite to quartz has been kind of the big transition as far as that premium. It's still a matter of, like, customer's choice, but it seems like quartz seems to be the choice more often than not.
It does. And it's not because granite is a lesser product. Granite is a great product. I mean, there's granite in the – there's countertops from 2,000 years ago someplace in Europe that are they're still working just fine. But like, the quartz group of products, keeps expanding because granite is a natural stone that they carve out of the mountain. They slice it literally like bread, and bring it to shops here. And then they cut it down, and they have these water jet cutting machines that cut everything out, cut the sinks out and buff it. Quartz, they kind of, that part's kind of the same, but they actually mine quartz, grind it up as a stone. It's actually harder than granite. They grind it up and bind it back together into a smooth stone product, looking product. But they can replicate just about anything because it's just like artwork. They instead of there are Scottish granites that, you know, you can buy, or Italian. You're telling them to cut a piece out of the mountain there and ship it over here so we can mill it and hope we don't break the piece and all that stuff. Or you can find a quartz that's really close to that. Or, you know, a lot of times they mimic those stones, those natural stones. And so in our showroom, we probably have, maybe 30 or 40 regional granites or granites that are readily available in the area. And I bet you we have 500 or more quartzes available. So it's several different manufacturers. When we first started working with it, maybe 10, 15, or 12 years ago, quartz was very expensive compared to anything else. Like the laminate tops, you know, the old Formica type stuff was a third of the price of granite, and granite was a third of the price of quartz. And now it's like quartzes are it's gotten so popular, like supply and demand, quartzes are now similarly priced to a lot of granites. I mean, you can still, for the really good designs and the top manufacturers, you're going to pay a little more, but usually when you look at them, it's worth it. Just amazing stuff. But there's something for everybody in the quartz brand.
So what's the, I don't know if it's the quartz or the granite, but version of the flooring? Because flooring is part of kitchen. And you talked before in a prior segment that kitchen remodels are no longer like just squared off space. It kind of can bleed into the way kitchens are designed now, that this, the whole home design, like floors could be, you might be changing the floors on the entire first floor where that kitchen is.
Yeah, because, you know, we're coming out of a time that a lot of houses went through flippers, you know, where they were, they would do the kitchen and put a vinyl tiles in there or something. And a lot of these houses that we look at and start remodeling on have four or five different flooring options on one floor. And it's just, it looks ridiculous. Like there's no continuity. It was whatever was on sale in the big box store at the time, you know? And so, when people want to do a real remodel, it gets to be more comprehensive. So for us, and I think this product is just the greatest product ever made. It's real wood floors. They've made a kind of a roaring comeback. It's the greenest product ever invented. We're refinishing 100-year-old floors that still have at least 100 years left in them. I mean, like, I defy you to find any other product that's going to last like that, right? Like,
right.
You have wood floors,
yep.
Real wood floors in your
yeah.
house.
No, and we love them, yeah.
And you love them, and someday maybe, you know, you're going to sand them and change the color, but, yeah. You know, you're not going to wear those floors out. Like,
no.
It's going to take forever. So that, I like that. It's a natural product. I like the kind of the homeowners seem to have a bent towards the natural products. I think they're willing to invest in things that are a little better, and mostly the natural products are better. The real woods are better. And so it's in kitchens, it's our most popular option.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of curiosity. So tiles just never really been, and maybe it's because now you don't have the separate flooring, but obviously I lived in Florida for a long time. Tile was the big thing, but it did go across the entire first yeah. or whatever floor that it was on. But you just don't see tile flooring up here as much.
You know, tile down there and down south is, that's just the way it is. Here, Wisconsinites, kind of Midwesterners, kind of feel like tile is kind of colder, right? Which
yeah.
it can be. Also, there down south, you're dealing with termites and moisture.
Yeah,
especially Florida and around the coast. The salty, moistury air is really tough on wood products, and the termites obviously don't help much either, and so they don't get froze out like they do down here or up here. But so yeah, it's really common to see tiles down there. I'm curious. One thing I noticed about Florida too is a lot of at least years ago, it was kind of all the same looking tiles. Like it's
yep.
like it's just really common to see these light, big square tiles, and now that we have so many more options, I hope they're mixing it up some more. But
I haven't been in the house down there in a long time, so they probably are.
We do a few a year where we do tile in the kitchen.
Yeah.
People are just like, you know what? I don't want a wood floor. I don't have to worry about the dogs or the, you know, it's really hard to destroy tile.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
But yeah, there's really good options with tile. We did one very big kitchen last year that we did tile in, and we did the, I don't know if you've seen the tiles that look like petrified wood, basically.
No, that sounds awesome.
It's,
yeah.
It's, so it's almost like a natural looking floor. It's textured, but it's a tile product.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously with anything else, there's a lot you can do with it. Cause the other place that you, and the most likely place to see tile in a house is the bathroom.
Yeah.
And we're talking about here some different, trends in bathrooms. And the one here that I think is super cool, is the curbless shower.
Yes.
And it probably has a lot to do with, and I think you've talked about this, the Not intentional design.
Universal
design, yeah. Because not only is it stylish,
for somebody that's not healthier, older, or in a chair or whatever. They are pretty tough to do. Like with the way modern houses are built, you basically need to you have to get pitch to a drain somehow. So if you've got if the outer wall of your shower is 4 feet away from the drain, you know, that's a couple inches of pitch that you need. You should have. You can get by with less, but so now you're thinking like, okay, how do I either have to build up the floor around it to get this curbless shower, or you've got to go down and notch flooring members underneath. Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can't. There's also some other options. So if you look at any of our tile showers now that we're doing, we basically get that curb down as low as we can. So we might be, for years we did, I don't know why, it was like 5 or 6 inches tall. And then at some point I went, why do we pick that number? Like, can we do a 3 or can we do less? And so people do like it. Okay, if you can't get the curbless, let's get a short curb so that much easier to get in and out for everybody.
Yeah, and we have a short curb and we enjoy that for our shower. And it's a nice design element too. It just looks nice. The next thing here, and this one's interesting to me because I don't think our bathroom, I think I would describe our master bathroom as like medium sized. And so, but like here's this large shower. It's like, well, if you want to like sometimes you have to make choices on what you want to fit into a bathroom space, but other times you don't. So like the large shower, how common is that? Because I feel like you have to have a certain amount of space for that.
Yeah, you do. But it's getting popular. So we call them wet rooms sometimes. And that shower might have like a freestanding tub actually in the shower space. Mm-hmm. So it's like not like a separate shower and a tub over here.
Yeah.
It's like part of it. That people like the look of that, and I'm not sure where they're seeing it. I know people have, there are some really nice hotels that will offer that. It's a nice look. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how practical that is, you know, like there's something to me that likes the separation just personally, but you know, it's, I do like the look, like when you tie it all together.
Yeah.
And I know also we have been done more bathrooms now lately with even a wainscot tile or tile all the walls in a bathroom just as a design element. People want it. They like the look of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a thing. But that wet room thing is cool. Again, though, if you're gonna make, you know, we have this pitch problem, right? Like we've got to get water to run from, now instead of 4 feet over just in the shower, you might have to go 8 feet or 9 feet.
Yeah.
And get water to go all that way. That's like 3 or 4 inches of pitch. So that's quite a bit of elevation to get rid of.
This is the Edge Construction Home and Modeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You're spending your Sunday morning with the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Welcome back to the Edge Construction Home and Modeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Jim Rutledge with Mike Tuig from Edge Construction. Give Mike a call at 608-636-3343. You go to edgeconstructioncompany.com, browse their work and read reviews, and go to House, Facebook, and Instagram to see more of their work as well. And Mike, I feel like a lot of the early shows we did were talking about universal design, and it was, I don't even want to say new then, but now it is something I don't think most people would notice, or they would just kind of consider it part of the design process. So I was saying, how often do you, when people bring you ideas that in your mind you're like, oh, that's universal design, they don't even know it's universal design?
No, yeah, totally. It's influenced everything we do, I think. And which I probably took my first classes on universal design maybe a dozen years ago. And it just made so much sense. So like the tenets of universal design are it basically, they don't want it to be visible. Like, okay, if I put a grab bar on the wall, that'll help somebody that needs help getting around, but that's a visible element. So it shouldn't be visible. It's got to be attractive. A lot of grab bars on the wall aren't very, like, you wouldn't necessarily want them unless you needed them.
Right.
Not very attractive. So that doesn't help. It the space should work for everybody. So if you're, you know, if you're old or young or healthy or not, or, I mean, young people can break their leg, right?
Yeah.
It happens. It's hard to get around. If you have narrow doorways, narrow hallways, there are people that can't, that that can't grab a round doorknob, like it's harder for them to do that and turn, like that twisting motion. So that's why you see a lot of the lever door handles. That's a universal design thing. The paddle switches for light switches are very universal design. I talked about the grab bars. We just did this, by the way. I actually like putting them in because most of the time they're much better quality, but you can now get tall bars that are built with the strength of a grab bar.
Okay.
So like they're attractive, you know, you can put your towels on them, but if you need to grab onto it to get yourself up or down or get across the room, you can do it without wrecking anything. They're actually meant for that. And so it's an amazing universal design product. We just talked about tile. All of the tiles now come with how slippery they are, a coefficient, like they're rated. And if they're wet and you're barefoot trying to walk across them, that was another kick on tile. The old porcelain tiles were kind of slick when you got them wet. The new ones now, they have these, there's three different ways to rate them. They will, every tile now is just rated, and you go, in our showroom, this will come up in design consultation, like, is this tile going to be slippery? Well, let's look. It's got a really good coefficient for being slippery. So that's a universal design thing. Trying to think of what else would be.
So let me ask you one here of, it's not necessarily universal design, but as you were talking about grab bars and style, I was like, I wonder, like, stairs maybe didn't always have the railing, but, and railings have turned from, I mean, even at our house, I was thinking about, we had like just a standard railing and it was there. And honestly, like, if you thought about it, it's probably universal design to help people get up the stairs. But then obviously when you did our first remodel of changing all the trim in the house, included the railing, we didn't even think about that because it's so like just part of life. But now the railing is a design feature.
Yeah.
And so like, it's an old school one, but even that, like, railings can become a design feature that you don't even realize are part of safety for people to be able to get up and down the stairs.
Yeah. So there's all these things that I want our designers to think about when they're putting this together. So one of the things I like best about a real wood floor is you don't have kind of clunky transitions. So like if you buy a vinyl plank floor, you're going to have to end that in a doorway or someplace, and they have a transition strip that fits over the top of that, you know, that you can carpet up to or bump another floor into that. But to me, it's like a tripper.
Yeah.
So that does not fit well into universal design. So if we work on your house, an annoyance for me has always been like the kitchen floor a lot of times will be at one level because it might have been added onto it at some point. And then the main rest of the house might be at a different level. So you got wood floors and you got a little half inch or an inch step up into the kitchen. And it was really because somebody was lazy in the past, like it didn't. And so I really like when that stuff all evens out. The worst thing in the world to me is if your older relative's over and trips on something like that and gets hurt, like that is an unnecessary thing. So universal design has crept into all the manufacturing. So all the, I talked about the grab bars, but there's a lot of other things from sink fixtures to appliances and how easy is it to open the door or adjust temperature on the stove and things like that. It's all influenced by universal design.
Well, and I was thinking, you've mentioned this before, which is maybe a little bit more than universal design, but having, I don't know if it's light switches, but being able to open cabinets, things like that from a lower level.
Oh, yeah.
I guess talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the cabinet. So you will see less like knobs, traditional knobs, because some people have a hard time just grabbing on it now. But a handle you can slide your hand into and open up is much easier. The cabinet manufacturers, by the way, have gone whole hog. They've got tons of options for that I think are cool, but also work really well for somebody with any kind of disability. I was looking at some stuff at the show where with a remote control, you push a button and you've got an upper cabinet. A lot of times it has dishes or glasses. And literally the bottom drops out of that cabinet. Whatever's inside just rotates down right down to countertop level. Yep. Everything's accessible in that cabinet. And I thought, this is really great. If you had someone in your family that struggled with, using some of these products, there's a lot of options for them.
Yeah, this has been great. This has been the Edge Construction Home Remodeling Show on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.